Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I pray, Father, please, that you will carry the message that hearts are ready to receive what you have for them to receive. May not one person walk away today not having been touched by you or, blessed by you or spoken to by you or in some way spiritually moved by you. But I pray, Father, that you will do your work. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start a series of messages, and it begins with the title of today's is Beyond the Shadows. It's part one, which is God's desire, Beyond the Shadows. I want to read just a little bit here of this really cool place in Italy. Let me just read this so I get all the facts straight. There's a special place in Italy called the Mausoleum of Galla Placidia that illustrates the concept to getting to know God better by getting beyond the shadows, like the kids. This is a chapel designed in the shape of a cross, covered inside with mosaics, depicting Jesus, the Good Shepherd, under the stars, surrounded by sheep. Isn't that cool in there? So the outside of the building is in the shape of a cross, the chapel. But inside has these mosaics, all right? The chapel has only two tiny windows. And usually the light that comes through them is blocked by all the tourists that are inside. Many people that go inside become impatient and leave the chapel too soon because they can't see anything. But those who wait patiently will be blessed. Because without warning, spotlights near the ceiling will turn on only for a few seconds, as we see the lights on the ceilings, right? For that brief time, the dull darkness will dissipate and a beautiful starry sky will appear each time the lights come on. The visitors are given another glimpse of the world beyond the shadows. Like the tourists in this chapel, many people come to the Christian faith with great expectations. So you get the idea. You got this church that's built in the shape of a cross. You go inside, and it's basically dark inside. All the tourists are going in. They want to see the beauty that's inside this chapel, but a lot of them will leave because of the crowd and because it's dark, and they're really not seeing anything, and so they leave. But those that stay in there and wait, all of a sudden the light will come on, and it will shine on these mosaics depicting the life of Christ. And that illustration fits our message. That illustration fits the kids being in the tunnel. What can you see through the veil? Okay, it's an illustration that God reveals himself to us when we're willing to be committed to him and patient on him and follow him, that we discover the things that God wants to reveal to us. And that's what I was praying. You being here today or listening to this message on the internet, that as you hear this message, my prayer is that you will hear or that God will show you something that you have not seen before spiritually, that it will touch your heart and that you will be glorified. The Christians that have great expectations are those that, you know, we say, well, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven when you die. That's true. When, if you genuinely receive Christ as your Savior, we might tell them that your life is going to be happier, richer, fuller. Is that always true? No. Because life is tough, life is hard, life is difficult. All sorts of things come into our life that affect us. But the closer we get to Christ, the closer that we walk with him, the more he reveals himself to us, his power, his grace, his love, his mercy, his care. And we begin to know him and walk with him more intently through all the trials, through all the difficulties. And we see God better and better and better, for lack of good grammar. But we see him as we grow and we walk with him with more clarity. When we first receive Christ, we're not really understanding the clarity of what it is to have a relationship with Christ. But as we continue to commit ourselves to Christ and follow him, we begin to realize how real God is and how much he is a part of our life, and that we're getting to know him more and more. And that's a blessing. Okay? So when the veil is lifted, the shadows fade away. And we begin to see God more clearly. As Christians, as they follow Christ, as we get closer to him who's the light, He reveals himself to us and the shadows dissipate. And that's what I want us to remember, that as we follow Christ, we want to walk in a way that is yielding to him so that God can unveil our eyes. If we're not willing to follow God, not willing to listen to him, not willing to really follow and commit to him, then we're going to miss out on opportunities for God to reveal himself to us. And that's like the people in the chapel. They went in, it was dark, they weren't seeing much of anything, and they walked out impatiently. Christians that come to, newborn Christians come to know the Lord, they're expecting all these great things and this great picture of this new life, but it may not be revealed the way they expect it to, and then they back up and walk away from God. Instead of being patient and saying, I'm going to wait on the Lord and follow the Lord and discover what God wants to do in and through my life. And so they think that, okay, well, I've received Christ. I now have a ticket to heaven. It's really a shallow way of looking at it, right? Because we don't just receive Christ so we can go to heaven. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. Well, I say ultimate. Is it the ultimate goal? It's not the ultimate goal, a relationship with Jesus. You see what I'm saying there? It's not the ultimate goal isn't that we don't go to hell because we don't know Christ as our Savior, but our ultimate goal is that we not just go to heaven, but that we have a relationship with Jesus that's eternal. And it starts when we receive Christ as our Savior, and he works in our lives and transforms us, and the work that he's begun in us, he's going to complete in us, and we're going to be made new in Christ. But it's in Christ, in our relationship with him. So the ticket isn't that we're just going to heaven. The ticket, I use that term loosely because the ticket is kind of disrespectful almost, right? Because it's not the fact that we have our way to get to heaven, boom, we're secured. It's our relationship with God. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of newborn Christians think. I've got saved. I understand the gospel. I received Christ in my heart. I am now saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got my ticket. And they don't look for the real blessing. The real blessing isn't heaven. The real blessing is Jesus. And as we yield ourselves to him and follow him, then we will find the blessings and the peace and the joy and the power that God wants us to have in our life in spite of maybe the horrible things that we go through in life. God is there, and he is our Lord and our Savior. So when people walk away from Christ as newborn believers or even as older Christians and say, well, the Christian life is not what I thought it was going to be. I don't want to follow the Lord anymore. It's like those that are in the chapel that didn't see much and just walked out impatiently instead of waiting on the Lord to do his work. And we need to look at that because what happens is that people become disappointed and disillusioned about their relationship with God. Unfortunately, we think we put expectations before God on what we think he should do for us and when he should do it for us and how he should do it for us. And we build all this expectation of God's going to do this, this, and this for me, or I'm going to have this, this, and this in my life. I know that's vague, but I'm going to have a perfect life with no hardship, a new Christian might say. But that's not the reality. If anything, the opposite is true. Only the difference is that in our life and the journey that we go on, having a relationship with Christ gives us grace, gives us power, gives us a love relationship with him, and gives us joy in our relationship with Jesus through those difficult times. But people allow the shadows to overtake them. Again, the disappointments and the disillusions. And sometimes the shadows are presented or cast on them in reality by the enemy, by Satan. Satan tries to bring things into your life that cast a shadow on their faith. That says, you know, okay, oh, you talk about your faith. I'm going to cast a shadow on that. I'm going to do something that he hopes will draw us away from focusing on God. And it will cause that veil to become thicker. It'll cause that veil to become less transparent. Satan will throw things in our way to deliberately cast a shadow on us to direct us away from God because of the things that we go through in our life or the things that people go through at church or fill in the blank. You see what I'm saying? Satan is there to discourage us from knowing the richness of our relationship with Jesus, the relationship that God wants us to have with him. But we have to be patient on God. We have to wait on him. We have to not put our expectations on God and say, God, if you don't meet these expectations or preconceived expectations, then I'm not going to be satisfied in you and I'll walk away. That's not the Christian faith. The Christian faith is, I've given myself to you. My life's no longer my own. I will follow you. And I know that you are working good in my life and everything, even when I don't see it. So many Christians end up missing the beautiful life with God that lies hidden behind the shadows. Right? You know, many people have put their faith in Christ that have walked away from the Lord. Many people that profess their faith in Christ that aren't walking in the way that God wants them to go. We can see the robbery that Satan has brought in on people's lives, casting that shadow. When I say that robbery, what scripture say? The thief comes but to rob and to steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have what? Abundant life. John 10:10. And so we see people that are discouraged and disillusioned because they have expectations that they've placed on God themselves instead of letting God reveal himself to them uniquely in his own way for them. So in the next few weeks, we're going to examine the shadows. What are the shadows that are cast upon us that can cause us to step back from our relationship with God? We're also going to look at what lies behind the shadows and how we get there. How are we drawn into those shadows? How are we deceived? How are we fallen or entrapped by the hand of Satan, who, by the way, is our enemy, who's constantly going before the Father accusing us because of our sin. But praise God. Hey, you and I know Jesus as our Savior, and there's nothing that can be held against us. The Father sees us clean through the precious blood of Jesus, and we are his. And so Christ Jesus, our mediator, is always defending us and telling the enemy, you've got no claim, you've got no ground, you've got no right to make any accusation against my children because they're mine. I am in them and they are in me. As our Western culture becomes increasingly secular and post-Christian, we're seeing many more people unconcerned about God, right? In fact, people get offended about the name of God being mentioned. In some parts of our country, that even carrying a Bible, people have been challenged and rebuked for having a Bible in their hands. Passing out tracts during, I forget which state it was in the Northeast, passing out tracts during a gay parade, trying to share the gospel with people. The two men that were doing that were arrested, thrown in jail, and then they were held there for, I forget the extended amount of time, but I believe it was a long time before they were even got out, you know, bailed out and got out of jail. That happens in America, and I'm sure there are many other stories like it. And so we're going to look at the things that cause people to turn away from God, that cause people to embrace the shadows rather than the light of Christ, that enhances our relationship with God. Those that are unconcerned about God give little thought to how God's presence could or should influence their lives. What I mean by that? How many people do you know that have, because of their preconceived ideas about God, about Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, have convinced themselves that they don't want anything to do with him? Because they think that he's come to rob them of life and not fulfill their life. And again, John 10:10 tells us differently. He's come to give us abundant life. And so people are deceived because their preconceived ideas of God are not met. They're not patient on God. And they have little understanding of what the presence of God in their lives could do in their lives, or how it could influence their lives to live a better life than they could ever imagine. But it's not just the lost. You hear that? I'm talking about I was just talking about the lost that have turned their back on God, their preconceived ideas, and even those that shake their fist at God and hate God. OK? Okay, they've bought into the lies of darkness, the shadows. But Christians have done that too, and I of course introduced this message as that. But we as Christians are missing out on experiencing God's presence and his influence in our lives. We have to be careful that in our Christian walk that we're not doing everything else but the most important thing, developing our relationship with God. We can get involved in ministries, we can get involved in all sorts of things, we can have our routines and so forth, church, service, missions, whatever. But if we're not walking with God, then we've missed the point. We've missed the point. When I hadn't got my bachelor's degree, and that's all I have is my bachelor's degree in theology. But as a young Christian, I remember a pastor, unfortunately, had told me, he said, you don't know what you're talking about because you haven't been to seminary. You haven't gotten your master's or your doctorate degree. He had his doctorate degree. And I'm sure that intellectually there are things that are true about that. And without going into the details of how that conversation came about, God spoke to my heart about something. He said, it's not the degree that makes you the man that God wants you to be, or the woman God wants you to be. It's the relationship that you have with me. A pastor or a leader or anyone who has great education, let's say biblical or Bible college or seminary or whatever, they can have the degrees and everything, but if they're not right with God, not saying they're not, but if the individual chooses to rely on their accomplishments and not their relationship with Christ, they've missed the point. Amen? Amen. See, and that is contingent for all of us. We can be involved in so much and we can gain so much knowledge, but if we're not maintaining really that personal relationship with Christ, then we're missing the main point. It's not about getting to heaven, it's about being with Jesus and knowing him even more. Okay? So I want to start this discussion with you, reminder of what God desires by reading some of these different passages of Scripture. In John 1, 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. What do you see in that? What does that verse reveal about God in relationship? That we worship a relational and personal God. I mentioned that last week or the week before, I can't remember, where some people look at God as deity that's unattainable, that is out of reach, that is so supreme and so powerful that we can't have a personal relationship with him. We can't approach him. See, those are the shadows that cover people's understanding of God's love, because God's love says, I've given my son, that through faith in my son as your savior, you can have a relationship with me. Right? For I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to what? The Father, except through me. That's what Jesus said. That's the goal. I want that relationship with you. The Trinity exists together for the purpose of unity. They are with each other and commune with one another. And that's what God wants with us. God's relational nature is further revealed in his creative work in us. Think about that for a minute. The fact that God wants a relationship with us is in the creative work that he's done in us. And here's the example, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man, the man or woman, that's mankind, in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What happened? God made us like him. He didn't make us gods, but he made us like him, in the image of him. Relational is one point that focuses on the image that we've been created in. We've been created in the image of God. not made gods. And part of that image is a relationship. The Trinity has God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have a relationship as one, as God. And then we're created in His image, and we are to have that one relationship in Him. Okay? So, God made us like Him. He made us relational. Then what happened? Genesis 3:6-8. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Satan cast a shadow through sin. And when God came to spend time with Adam and Eve, what did they do? They hid themselves. Out of their own embarrassment, they realized they were naked. They didn't want to be before God. But more importantly, they realized that they had sinned against God. And they were afraid of God. That shadow, that effect of saying, I'm going to cast a shadow that pulls you away from the relationship that God wants to have with you. And that's what Satan tries to do in our lives. He tries to throw things and circumstances in our life that we are more comfortable with backing up away from God. And then we fall into the trick of Satan, where God says, no, I want you to be close to me. You need to be patient and trust the Lord and let Him reveal Himself to us. And so Satan cast a shadow through sin. And when God came to spend time with Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from the presence of God. So all of man became separated from the presence of God because of sin. Man has grown, mankind, further and further away from God. Except those that have received Christ as their Savior, believed in the Old Testament, believed in the Messiah, the Holy One, that was the Redeemer that was promised, that those that have yielded themselves to God have salvation through faith in Him. And so man could no longer be with God or see the world that lies behind the shadows. Man could no longer be with God or see the world that lies behind the shadows. The world of God, the perspective. What was the perspective before? God walked with Adam and Eve, and there was no constraint. There was no withdrawal. There was no concern. There was only joy. It's the Lord. And the scripture doesn't say how long God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before they sinned. They had a relationship with Him. Satan cast that shadow, and it drew them back, and it affected all of mankind. It affected you, and it affected me. But as you and I listen to the knock of the Holy Spirit on our heart, and we say, Lord, I want to receive you as my Savior, or Lord, I want to yield my life to you, or Lord, I am going to trust you in this circumstance, and I want to know you better and love you better through my relationship with you and your relationship with me. In John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is God doing? God sent His Son. Jesus is what the Bible refers to as the second Adam. The first Adam, born in the garden, or, you know, created by God the Father in the garden, he was without sin, but he fell in sin. The second Adam is Jesus, God in the flesh, born, called Jesus. And He's without sin, and He's our Savior, trying to bring us back to that relationship with Him that is not interrupted by the shadows of sin, but allows us to have the fullness of life in Christ, this side of heaven. But in particular, for eternity forward, God is working to restore what, in a far greater way, what Adam and Eve had before they sinned sinned against God. They had a great relationship with God before they sinned. And so He sent Jesus to make a way for us to be with Him again. You see the picture? Adam and Eve had the perfect relationship with God before they sinned. Then they sinned, and it messed up not only their life, but the lives of generations, like all the way to us and yet to come. God sends His Son, who's the Savior of the world, and He's working through His Son to make things right again, where we can have the fullness of a relationship with God through Christ forever. We grow in our relationship with Christ in this, on this side of heaven, but when God completes his work and the new heavens and the new earth are put in place, and God dwells with mankind, for God the Father, his dwelling place comes and dwells with mankind on earth for the first time ever, we will have that perfect relationship with God. Just like when God would come and meet with Adam and Eve in the garden, for us, God saying, my home, where he came from, his home, his throne, to meet with Adam and Eve, in the future, God saying, no, I'm bringing my home and I'm going to live amongst you in perfect peace, in perfect harmony, without any shadows, without any sin, without anything evil, with the fullness of life forever and ever. So he sent Jesus to make a way for us to be with him. God once again came to walk with man as Jesus and to have a relationship with him. Do you remember what God's ultimate plan and desire is for us? Look at Revelation 21, 2 and 3. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. This is what I was talking about. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. The Trinity is something that we don't grasp very well, but there is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father will dwell with mankind for all eternity. Let me just, before I close this message, think about it this way. And I've thought about this a lot, especially in lieu of our world that we live in, the lives that we, you know, the things that we face in life. One day, obviously, there will be no sin, no effects of sin. There will be no shadows, but I'm going to go even deeper. Every relationship that we have as the body of Christ, believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, will be the most pure, unadulterated, perfect, loving, unified relationship in Christ forever. I was watching, Kathy and I were watching a show, I'm almost done here, but Kathy and I were watching a show, and it was funny, it was a game show, and the one contestant came up, and she was just radiant at the expectation of what was happening in this game show. She was winning. Her eyes lit up, and big old smile on her face, and she's just, you could just see her taking it all in with great excitement and great joy. And I thought this, I thought, one day we're going to be in eternity forward as believers in Christ, and we're going to have that fullness of joy that is beyond what we can imagine, because we won't have a sinful nature. We have unity with God completely and with each other completely, perfectly, for all eternity. And that, I don't know if I'm conveying that well enough, but think about relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ that go awry. And think about one day, as true believers, we will have perfect love for each other without any fear of judgment, criticism, rebuke, or any of that. Just perfect love and reception and unity in the love of God forever. Now, what kind of smile would you have on your face forever? How radiant will our faces be in the perfect union with God, in the perfect reality forever and ever? I don't think I can express it any other way. So God's dwelling will come and dwell with men. That's eschatology. Those are future events that are yet to come, but still promised in God's word. As mystical as it sounds, as beyond our comprehension, God's word says it will happen. And in that we can trust. God's desire is to be with us, just like he was with Adam and Eve before they sinned. God has a greater plan to live with us in perfect harmony for all eternity, where there be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more dying, no more death. Nothing like that. Everything will be absolutely underscored, wonderful, forever, never to end. Someday God's wonderful future plans to be with us permanently will be complete. Right now we're on our mission. Right now this is the short time of our lifespan that God has given us. This is our mission, to live for Him. But we wrestle with our sinful nature, we wrestle with the sin of the world and the shadows of the world and the warfare of demonic activity over our lives and even our sinful nature, right? But one day we won't have to contend with any of that. All light, no darkness. All love, no hatred. Full acceptance, no judgment. Unified together as deeply as possible without constraint. In love, in unity, in Christ, for His glory. He will work that and bring that to completion. But in the meantime, we need to shoo away. Shoo fly, however that old song used to go. Shoo fly. You know, the thing of Satan is, I'm going to smash you fly. You know, and all the things that he does to try to draw us away from God. We need to shoo away the shadows of this world and get beyond the shadows to see God clearly and enjoy His presence now in our lives. We have opportunity to say, I see what's coming against me, but I know who my God is. I see what you're trying to do to distract me and pull me away, but I choose to keep my eyes on Jesus. And as we do that and walk by faith, not by sight, God will reveal Himself to us. And He will bless us. And we're to go beyond the shadows. And we're to see God clearly. And we're to enjoy His presence in our lives. So, in the coming weeks, we're going to work on dispelling the shadows. Identifying the shadows and how to dispel those shadows. And working on being in His presence. So, spend time this week focusing on walking with God through your daily life, because really that's the most important thing, is it not? That no matter what we do, the most important thing we have in life is to walk with Jesus, is our relationship with God, that our hearts are right with God. First, through faith in Jesus as our Savior, believing that God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, that He was buried and on the third day He rose from the dead, that He's alive today in heaven. Now, like I told the kids, Satan knows all that. He's not going to heaven. These are just the facts. But when we as individuals have acknowledged what Jesus has done for us, and we say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sin. Come into my heart, and then truly mean, Lord, be Lord of my life. I want you not just to be my Savior, but I want you to be Lord over my life. I want to live my life for you and not for me. And if we do that, we have eternal life in Him, and then we are to build our relationship in Christ as we walk by faith. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I don't think that we really clearly see all the shadows that Satan and the powers of darkness try to overshadow us with. The enemy is always there trying to distract us, either from coming to know you as our Savior, or if we have received you as our Savior, from following you and loving you and being patient with you and faithful to you. There are shadows all around us that hide your light, that those shadows have affected our walk with you. And I pray that in these upcoming messages, Father, that You would really remove the veil from our spiritual eyes, that You would help us to see and discover the things that really have been cast as a shadow on our life, that through You that we have the ability to allow that shadow to be lifted off of us, that we might see You more clearly, that we might understand You and know You and love You more deeply, and that we will walk in Your light and not in the shadow that Satan would rather have us walk in. And so, Father, I ask that You honor this and bless this. Bless each one that's hearing this message here and later on, now on the internet and later on as people listen to it. But I'm asking, Father, that you would put something on every listening ear's heart that says, I want the shadows lifted up off of me. I want to see you more clearly, Lord. And I pray, Father, please, that will be our desire and that we will discover what it means to lift shadows off of our lives, that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.